So we are in a series, a new series, or kind of sort of wrapping up a mini series here, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But before I go there, I have to confess, there are sometimes I like to sit down in front of the tube, okay, in front of the television, and I like to watch a movie, okay, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. But one of my favorite movies that I've enjoyed is the movie Back to the Future. Anybody even heard of the movie? Yeah. Some of you out there are fans. I know you are. And that's okay. You can admit to that. And you know what? There's a few reasons I like Back to the Future. First of all, I'd love to go into the past. If I could go travel to the past, I think that would be very cool. Second reason is I think the DeLorean is a very cool car. Come on. Seriously, wouldn't you just love to be driving down, you know, King George Boulevard in this thing? It would be fantastic. I also love the 50s, and I've never been there. My DeLorean isn't working. I haven't gotten it yet. I haven't got my flux capacitor yet. But I love the 50s. I love hearing about things that happened back then. But, you know, I thought about it. I thought, man, I could travel back into time. If you could travel back into time, where would you go? And I thought, man, if I could travel back, I would, you know where I'd go? I'd go back to, I think it's June, let me just get this right, June 20th, 1969. Anybody remember that day? June 20th, some of you were around at that time. It's the day that man set their foot on the moon, okay? So I would personally like to take my DeLorean and go to the moon and actually prove that it existed. Okay, that they actually were there. I'd love to, if I could go back into time, I would love to go back to the year zero. Wouldn't you love to go back to the place where Jesus was born? See, I would, you know what I would do is I would take a camera and I would be taking my digital video camera and I'd be filming it because there would be a great documentary that would be coming out if I would do that. Or 33 years later, how about that? How about being at the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead? Wouldn't that be cool? Come on, that would be really, really fun. I would love to go back into time. Now, we can't do that too much today because I don't think too many of us have a time machine. If you do, I would really like to talk to you about that. I'd love to use it for once. We've been going through this series and looking at rebooting, resetting, getting reestablished in our relationship. And last week, Pastor Ken was here and he was talking about how God blessed us in the past. How God used this church to be an instrument and how he's done many miracles through the years. And I think it's really cool to look back, but we can't stay there, okay? We can't stay there. We gotta look forward. But just for fun this morning, I thought I'd start with something a little bit different. I thought, you know what it would be fun to do is to ask you to take a couple of minutes here this morning and look at the person next to you. Now, if it's your spouse, find somebody else, okay? Because we just want to do a little bit of interaction here. If you could go back and change something in your past and completely do it differently, what would you do? A couple of minutes, look at somebody beside you. If you could go and change something in the past, okay, and do it differently. So talk with the person beside you. Can't be your spouse. Find somebody else, and I'm going to give you about a minute or so to do that. Okay, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds. If you could do something differently, go back and do something differently from the past. All right, the murmur is slowly quieting down. Okay, just for fun. Anything profound out there. If somebody could do something different, what would it be? Does anybody want to actually share? And it was quiet on the Western Front. Come on. Yeah.
I wish I had a chance to talk to my cousin over the mail thing when I was in California.
Oh, so talk to a cousin. That's, yeah, sometimes we wish we had more time to talk to people like that, yeah. Right, okay. Okay, talk to someone about Jesus. Thank you, Pereza. Anybody else? If you could go back and change something. Learn to fish. Learn to fish. I like this lady. It's never too late. It's never too late, Eileen. Anybody else? Yeah, Denise. Wouldn't be such a horrible teenager. Wouldn't that be great? Walk back and just kind of slap ourselves on the side of the head and tell. Okay, let's move on from there, okay? So think about that. But now let's see, being in the past is fine. Remembering the past is okay. But we want to look towards the future, don't we? Right? We want to look at how can we build our future? So the second question I want you to look at is this. Where would you like to see yourself in the future, and what will you do to get there? Where would you like to see yourself in the future, and what will you do to get there? So same people, look around. I'm going to give you exactly maybe 45 seconds to do that. Where would you like to see yourself in the future? What will you do to get there? Okay, I'm giving you 20 seconds. All right, where would you like to see yourself in the future? Anybody wanna venture out? Where would you like to see yourself in the future? And I'm not talking about, you know, Hawaii, though that would be fun. Yeah. The rapture.
My dream has always been to go to Africa and teach.
Go to Africa and teach. You can get there, Gail. There is a way. We'll chat. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Somebody said the rapture. Hey, hallelujah. We better all be there here. Like, let's just be honest here. Where would you like to be in the future? And how will you get there? Somebody else? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And now that's great. We're being very spiritual. That's wonderful. Let's talk about, is there something right here that you'd like to do on this planet? Yeah.
I'd like to be right here in this church all three of my boys back here.
Amen. I'm with you, Jen. Like to be here in this church with all three of her boys being here as well. See, here's what this is. This is what this is. This is called vision, right? This is called looking forward and seeing where does God want us to be, and what is it going to take for us to get there? And I want to look at this here this morning a little bit. And I've called it vision reset, and I even have a little reset button. Here, wait. Oh, hang on.
That was easy.
Let's do that again. Did this work?
That was easy.
Yeah, there we go. That was easy. And we want to see where God wants us to be. Let's just start with prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can look back and see the blessings that we've had in our lives, maybe those things that weren't so much of a blessing. But most importantly, we can look to you today and what you want to do through us today to be effective for the future. And so as we look into your word here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to focus on what you want us to hear, to assimilate it, and to practice it so that we can be more effective as children of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for us to look at vision, I want to look at three things. I want to look at a description of vision. I want to look at direction, and I want to look at determination. So description. What is vision? Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious. Vision is basically the power or the act or power of sensing with the eyes. It's a sight. It's sight. It's seeing. But see, here's the thing. A person can have sight, but they may not necessarily be able to see. Okay? A person can have sight, but may not necessarily to be able to see clearly. I've got an example here. So fire on this next picture. Classic. Okay? So we can look at this picture and we can say, okay, what do you see? What do you see? Somebody says two old women. Somebody says what? What do you see? You're seeing a young lady and an old lady. It's a classic picture. You've seen this one before. Or the next picture. What do you see in this? A gauntlet or two faces. So how do you see things? The next picture, they say, wait a minute, don't put it up yet. The next picture, they say if your right part of your brain, the right side of your brain works well, you will be able to find a face in this next picture in 3 seconds. Here we go. I'll give you a fire it up there. See if you can see the face. Does anybody see the? That's less, more than 3 seconds. See, I don't have a pointer, but it is right there on the bottom in the bottom corner there. You see it? Ah, check it out. Right, brain's working. See. I love the next picture because these are one of my favorite things to do, and these are called magic eyes. If you go to the next slide, please. And my magic eye's not up there. The picture of the flowers, it's got to be up there. Okay, well, you've seen the magic eyes, right? Where you see a picture of a bunch of roses, and if you look really closely, you see a heart in the roses, right? You have to look closely to actually see these things. See, here's the thing. We have been given sight, but God wants us to look just beyond the superficial and to have vision for what is beyond that. See, the thing about vision is it can be just seeing, but I love this definition. Vision is looking beyond the critics and seeing the possibilities. When Walt Disney was thinking about Disneyland, and you might know this story, he had the whole plan in mind. He had the idea of the different rides and so forth, and some of his critics says, man, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. But he took that step, and he produced Disneyland, much to the chagrin of people like me who don't like standing in line. But the point is we've got to take a look at beyond what we see and see possibilities that God wants us to see. The American Heritage Dictionary says vision is an unusual competence in discerning or perceiving. It's intellectual foresight. I like that. I love what one old Anglo-Saxon satire guy by the name of Jonathan Swift, not Taylor Swift, Jonathan Swift says. He says this, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. Vision is the art of seeing things invisible. See, that comes from knowing God, doesn't it? From having that relationship with Jesus. And we need to understand what vision is. We need to understand it, and it really boils down to what is our relationship with Christ like? Because when our relationship with Christ is right, he gives us that vision to see beyond the superficial, doesn't he? We get so caught up in right here, right now, and we get caught up in the challenges and so forth, and Jesus is saying to us, look beyond. See beyond the possibilities. I love Joel chapter 2, verse 28. You know it very well. It says this, and afterward, let me stop there. He says afterward, and back then he was talking about how the nation at that time were about to be destroyed by the Assyrians, or they were destroyed by the Assyrians. And he says there's an afterward coming beyond that. And then if you look in the New Testament, when you look at this, the same portion, Peter talks about it and he says, afterward, after the last days, there will be an outpouring of my spirit on all people. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Can I stop there for just a second? Never underestimate our young people. Never underestimate the power of our young people. And you know what, I look at this section where they usually sit, and to be honest with you, most of them are upstairs. Which I, in some ways, it kind of grieves me because I want to see them downstairs, taking in, and us as adults being upstairs in the working with the children and so forth. But see, God gives our young people, he gives them dreams, he gives them prophetic messages, he gives them opportunities to move. And see, we need to be allowing or pouring or encouraging them to develop these qualities. My spirit will be poured upon your sons and daughters. They will prophesy, the prophet says. Your old man will dream dreams. Folks, dream. Dream, dream dreams. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life with dreams, with possibilities, with opportunities. Get a vision beyond where you're at. Because if you stay where you're at, it's going to get really dull. Dream dreams. And it says your young man will see vision. See, I want to see people get the vision from God. Understand what the vision is from God and to be actually practicing that vision. In the last days, we are living there right now, folks. God will pour out his Spirit upon all people. John Maxwell says this, has God given you an awareness, the ability to see the right now, right here, to become what God wants you to be? See, that's where our vision starts. Our vision as a church, our vision as a body of believers, you see it on the back windows, is this: to be a diverse church, connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. I'll explain that a little bit more a little later on. But I like the way somebody put it. We were chatting about this in one of our leadership meetings. And he said this, our vision really is about knowing, growing, and showing Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus, growing in Jesus, and showing Jesus in a diverse community. I think I got a slide on that as well. It's about developing that relationship with Jesus. And I'm hoping that we're beginning to know who Jesus is. I'm hoping that we're beginning to grow in Jesus and we're showing Jesus to others. So vision needs to start, first of all, by having a description, understanding of what it is. Secondly, we need to have direction. I love what John Maxwell says. Vision is about attitude, the faith to believe. To believe that God is real, to believe that Jesus is here today, and to believe that we can develop an ongoing relationship with him. We need to have that direction from him. See, our vision as a church starts with knowing Christ, but it's gotta go deeper. We gotta be growing in our relationship with him. We gotta be hearing from him and going in the direction that he wants us to go. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. You know this verse. It says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you need to hear a voice. You need to hear God's guidance. And you're sitting there and going, I don't have a clue what to do here. Folks, I believe this is relevant today. I believe God wants to give us that direction and that wisdom to go in the direction that we are supposed to be going in. I find this verse very interesting because it's cushioned between two verses that we don't usually talk about. If you go to the verse just before that, in verse 20, it says this, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of afflictions, your teachers will be hidden no more. And when you look at that, I don't know about you, but I'm like, excuse me? The Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. There's some things I like chewing on, but I don't like chewing on adversity and I don't like drinking affliction. Anybody with me? It's not fun. I don't like it. Nobody likes it. We want life to be free from problems. Come on, God, what's the deal here? Why would you tell us this? I haven't had the chance of holding in my hand something too valuable, especially when it comes to this product right here on the screen, and that is a piece of gold. Now, I've never actually pulled gold from the ground, but apparently when you pull it from the ground, it can look something like this. Can be full of different, and you know where I'm going with this. It'd be full of dirt. It can be full of other stuff that impurities that you just got to get rid of. And in order for that gold to actually be valuable, it's got to go through a refining process, correct? Now, I'm thinking if the gold could talk, it would probably say to the goldsmith, excuse me, what do you think you're doing? This is not fun. This is not comfortable. This is pretty hot. Like, leave me alone. I'm fine the way I am. But the goldsmith knows that the only way that gold is valuable is if those impurities are removed and then it becomes something pure, like this next picture. Now, that's not the picture. That picture, exactly. We got to work on this a little bit. I'm thinking, if you know anything about my wife, she's gone through some challenges in her life. She's gone through stuff and some refinement and so forth. We all have to go through it, folks. We all have to go through those refinements, through those challenges, through those dark and painful times. They're not fun. But see, here's the thing. Unless God does the purification, then we can't go to verse 21. Then we can't hear his voice. See, the refinement is, as it says here in verse 20, that refinement is our teacher. It says here, your teacher will be hidden no more. God wants to teach us through those processes and make us pure, so that verse 21, again, whether you turn to the right or to the left, you'll be able to hear the voice of God. So don't run. Don't run from the adversity. In the middle of it, say, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? How do you want to purify me? How can I remain strong in the middle of this, even though it is not a fun place to be? I love verse 22. I love the Bible. You know why I love the Bible? Because God drops different things in our pathway as we read the scripture. Some aren't so fun to read, but some are fun. And I love this verse. It says this, then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, away with you. I love that. It's in scripture, okay? I'm not making this stuff up. But see, here's the thing. God, when we allow God to purify us, when we allow God to refine us, when we're listening to the voice of God, and those things in the past that used to entice us, those things that used to lead us astray, they will be like the worthless idols that the Israelites were involved in at that time. And God says, man, if you listen, you'll see those things for what they are. And you're going to say, man, I don't want this. And you're going to kick it out like a menstrual cloth. Now, this is scriptural. In today's language, they call them tampons, okay? And God's saying it's going to be so putrid. Anything that is not of God is going to be so putrid you want to get rid of it. Folks, I'm wondering if you're hearing the voice of God leads you. Are you following him even during those difficult times? And when those temptations come your way, has God given you the strength to say, man, I don't want anything to do with that. If it's going to pull me away from God, it's disgusting in my eyes. Get it away from me. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying those things that are not of God, as we hear his voice, as we follow his direction, as we are focusing on the vision he gives us, it is going to fulfill in a way that we can't even imagine. So I'm wondering, when you look at our situation in our world today, are there things that are leading our people astray? I'm so encouraging people to come this Friday as we pray into this whole Soji program. We need God. We really need God in our day. Like I don't think we know how desperately we need God, how desperately our country needs Jesus. They're grabbing onto idols and they're grabbing onto things, and sometimes as a church, we kind of brush it aside and say, man, that's okay. You know, you do your thing. It's not such a big deal. It is a big deal. So let's focus on Christ. Let's be a church that is hearing from Christ and growing in our relationship with him. So we need a true description of what vision is. We need a direction. And lastly, we need the determination, the courage to put our vision into action. Can you imagine if Walt Disney never actually took his plans that he had written on a piece of paper. By the way, I just saw that they found one of the original maps of Walt Disney that he drew out, showing his park, and it sold for an obscene amount of money. I can't remember what it was. But imagine if he just left it there and says, I'm not going to build this park because you know what? The critics say it's not a good idea, so I probably should listen to the critics. There would be a very large amount of unhappy children in this world today, and not so few unhappy adults as well. I would be happy because I don't like lines. I was in Disneyland a couple times and two times too much. I'm good with it. I don't have to go back there. But if we don't follow through with the vision God has given us, I'm wondering what effect it will have, not just on us, but maybe on people around us as well. You know the verse in Philippians chapter 3, and I've preached on this before, but I want you to get this. It says, but one thing I do, I'm wondering what the one thing that God has given you to do. What is the one thing God wants of you? See, we can be doing a whole lot of stuff and running back and forth and being involved in a bunch of things, and in doing so, maybe possibly losing focus of that vision God has given us to be involved in and be engaged in. One thing I do. One thing God has called me to do. You know, I've learned something about myself. I'm not good in a number of things. I'm really not good in administration. I'm really not that great in financial management. That's why I surround myself with people like Teresa, like Herb, like Samuel, like others that understand some of this stuff that I don't understand that well. But I know what I'm good at. And I'm going to work on that. See, I think that it's important that we need to find out what we are good at and work on it with all of our might. Do it well. One thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. At Gene's funeral, for those that were here, I talked about living in the past. And I mentioned this. Someone said that the good old days are the combination of a bad memory and a good imagination. Isn't that the truth, right? The good old days, yeah, they were great. Well, maybe they weren't so great. I believe better days are to come. I believe that with all of my heart. The Roman poet Horace said, seize the day. See, we need to learn from our past, but we need to be living in a way that would honor Christ in our future. I love what one person said. He said this, while you are dreaming of the future or regretting the past, the present, which is all you have, slips from you and is gone. Live in such a way today that you're honoring God towards your future. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to which Christ has called me heavenward, or God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need the courage to take the vision that God has given us. See, I honestly believe, and I've said this before, I honestly believe that if you really want to know what God wants from you, it boils down to two real simple things. Really, really simple. You want to know what they are? Real simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Secondly, teach others to love God. Teach others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go out of your way to show love to others. It's so simple. And if we're focusing on that, if we are taking that message and sharing that message of hope with others around us, that's where fulfillment lies. Because then we're doing what God has called us to do. I'm wondering, as individuals, and I've asked the ushers to help me with this, if I can get the ushers to come on up at this time. I'm wondering if as individuals, if you look at where you are at, and what you are involved in. How involved are you with the things of God? How involved are you with actually things right here at Spot Church? So what I want to do is I've got a little handout, and the ushers are going to hand this out. If you don't have a pen, they'll give you a pen. It's an information thing. It's an information sheet. Talks about you. Talks about your spouse and your kids and all that in the first page. But the second page is really where I want to focus on. How long have you been here? Where are you involved right now? Okay? And maybe, is there a place you would like to be involved in? I want to know where we as individuals are involved in this church, because here's what I believe. I believe that when we are engaged in the work of God, then we find fulfillment. But people that are not involved and not engaged in the work of God, I think they are often the ones that make the most noise. You hear me? I think sometimes when we are not involved, we see the mistakes the most. Like I've used the illustration many times. Again, Pastor Les, we've used the illustration. If you're in the boat, what's the illustration? Paddle. Don't drag your feet. Paddle. Okay, if we're in the boat and we are dragging our feet, we're going to see how everybody else is paddling. Oh, they're not doing very well over there. Whew, that guy in front of me, man, he's got to use some better deodorant than that. Did you see the hole in that boat? Oh man, there's that paint over there, that needs to be redone. We begin focused on others and on the boat. But if we're paddling, if we're doing the work of the Lord, whatever that is, guess what? We begin to focus on the right things. So I'm going to give you just a few minutes to fill this thing out. And I want you to have the courage this fall to see where God wants to use you. Where are you engaged at Spa Church? In what capacity are you involved in? As well as, are there places that you are serving the Lord here or outside? So I'm going to give you a whopping 3 minutes. 3 whole minutes to do this. If you don't have it yet, you're going to get them. And if I can get you to do that, and then we'll just close in a second. So can we fire the 3-minute clock up there, Zach? And we're not going to fire the 3-minute clock up there. Okay. I'll give you 3 minutes. We're going to fire some music on there, and I will time you. Oh, my clock says 25 minutes. If you need pens, we have pens. And if you need papers, we have papers too. So if you don't have a paper or pen yet, just put up your hand. The ushers will come by. We've got a bunch of people over here and over here and over there and over there and over there. I'll give you mine. I will give you another 2 minutes. I breathe the air of freedom in, knowing my life is better off in your hands. The past is gone, what's done is done. Now I'm alive, and I'm never gonna look back. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you. Yeah, 1.5 minutes to go. If you can't get it done here, that's fine. You can hand it in a little later on. Another 30 seconds. This is the sound of change breaking. This is the beat of a heart changing. down. Thank you. If you haven't finished it, can I encourage you to do so and just hand it at the info desk at the end of the service. Can we fire that slide up there one more time, our vision as far as the church is concerned. Our vision as a church is to be a diverse church. And what that means is diverse in the people groups that we have here, different cultures, different age groups, so forth. We do not focus on one age group, one culture. We want to be a family church. Diverse in the way we approach different individuals and different ministries that we have here at the church. A diverse church connecting our neighbors with Jesus. Listen, there's nothing more important, listen, than people coming to know Christ. That is got to be why we're on this planet. Love God, but bring others to Jesus. And that is your responsibility, folks. I can't be where you are at. I can't reach your neighbors, but you can. That's your responsibility, connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. That means empowering our communities here as a church, our different LIFT communities, our different ministries, giving purpose, and the purpose is to glorify Christ. It's all about knowing, growing in, and showing Jesus in a diverse world. That's what we're about. That's what we need to be about. I'm going to ask Bonds and the group to come up here. And I want us to end here this morning by examining ourselves here today and examining where are we at today when it comes to how effective are we in encouraging others to know Christ. Where are we at in our faith? Secondly, maybe where are you at today when it comes to challenges, maybe health-wise, whatever it may be. Are you needing somebody to come alongside of you and pray for you? See, because I think we are a family, right? And we as a family, we need to stand together. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for each other. So I'm going to call the prayer team up at this time, and we're gonna spend some time in prayer here this morning before we dismiss. And if there is some areas you need prayer in, listen, please, can I encourage you, come to the front. It's nothing special about the front, but it's special about having people pray for you. So, Father, I thank you that you have given us clarity where you want us to be, what you want us to do as believers, and ultimately it's to bring glory and honor to your Son, Jesus. But sometimes things get in the way and our vision gets clouded and we lose track and lose sight and we find ourselves going down a pathway that is not where you want us to be. So I pray right now for your people here this morning. If there are challenges, if there are disappointments, if there has been some strain, whatever it may be, Father, I pray that you would meet them right now. And Lord, as we spend some time in prayer, I pray for miracles. I pray for healing. I pray for provision. I pray for encouragement. I pray for empowerment. I pray that your Spirit would do a work. Lord, we invite you, we beg of you to do your great miraculous work right now in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand? And if you need prayer, please come on to the front as the team leads us in worship.